Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Poetry Superhighway Live. This is Rick Lubert speaking to you live from my Van Nuys Poetry Studio. We've just upgraded the studio. We put in a glass of water, a brand new one. So it's really kind of upping the ante over here in terms of luxury. It's good to have you all listening. It's our open reading. We do this every month. And I invite you to call in. The number is area code 646-716-7362. We have no content or style restrictions. Our only requirement is that you read a poem. And then you'll have the opportunity to tell us what's going on in your poetry world. Tell us about your latest project, your website, a reading that you host in your area. I'm particularly interested in knowing what's going on in terms of live poetry in other parts of the country. And my theory about this is that I bet there's someone else listening in your part of the world who probably doesn't know about what it is that you know about. And if you say what it is that you know on the air, then they'll know. And we will thus have helped further the mission of Poetry Superhighway, which is to expose as many people to as many other people's poetry as possible. So let's do that, shall we? The phone number to call in is 646-716-7362. Since we last spoke last month, we completed the 14th annual Great Poetry Exchange, a project in which people pledged to send their poetry book to another randomly selected participant in exchange for receiving a poetry book from yet another randomly selected participant. We had 70 people participate this year from all over the world, many continents represented, and the deadline for people to send out their books was this past Monday, March 16th. And so far, I've heard from 65 of the 70 poets that their books have been sent. And an annoying follow-up email has already gone out to the other five. So not to worry if you're a participant who hasn't received your book yet. You'll definitely get one. I get really annoying in email. No one should write me because it's just going to be whatever I write back is undoubtedly going to be annoying. But this is a purposefully annoying follow-up email. You know, I try to begin friendly, like, have we crossed in the mail? Did I perhaps not receive your email notification that you send out the book? But then it gets a little more pointed until finally an electronic jihad is launched. Probably wasn't the best choice of words there. Anyway, great poetry exchange. We finished it. I hope that you got your book already. Thanks for joining in. Our next project, by the way, starts on April 1st. And it's not a joke. It's our annual poetry writing prompt a day that we'll be publishing during National Poetry Month. It's the third year in a row we've done this. We've solicited from all of you poetry writing prompts. How do we do that? We included it in our newsletter, and I'm telling you now, the solicitation period is still open. If you have an idea for a poetry writing prompt, a writing exercise that you would like to share, then go to our website, poetrysuperhighway.com. Click on the banner at the top of the page that says Submit Yours under the Poetry Writing Prompt Project, or there's a link under Special Projects, and put your idea in the form there. And throughout the month of April, which, by the way, is National Poetry Month, I understand yesterday was National Poetry Day, or was that Worldwide Poetry Day? I don't know. I do know for sure, though, that April is National Poetry Month here in the United States. So every single day, we will be publishing one poetry prompt submitted by those of you who have submitted your writing prompts. So you got a good idea, send it. A couple tips here. I don't mean to say that any particular writing prompt is illegitimate, but specifically the ones that we're looking for are ones that provide a specific writing exercise or direction. that might use a poem or a stanza as a poem as an example of what you're talking about, but the entire writing prompt, at least in terms of what we're looking for, should not exclusively consist of a poem that you've written and that's it, or a phrase. Certainly, there's no illegitimacy about that as a writing exercise, but it's not what we're looking for. We're specifically looking for something that has direction of some kind. And if you want to see examples of what we used, on our website are the last 2 years' worth of writing prompts under the special projects menu on Poetry Superhighway. You can see the Prompt a Day project, and then there's a submenu listing for 2014 and 2013. I'd love to see what you've got. The whole idea behind this is many people, as I'm sure many of you know who are listening, try to write a poem a day during National Poetry Month. NaPoWriMo, I believe it's referred to as. And so sometimes it's tough thinking up something to write. Sometimes it isn't. It's fine if you don't need poetry writing prompts. But in case you're looking for an idea, we're going to give you an idea every single month of something that you can base a poem off of. So you can choose to use it like that. You can submit your own writing prompt. You can do a combination of the two. It's completely up to you. Go to our website and check it out. I believe that's everything I have to tell you at this point. We're going to get to our callers right now, our open reading. Again, the number to call in is area code 646-716-7362. Our first caller is a series of ones, which means it's a block number. Hello, block number. You probably heard a beep.
Hello, Rick.
Hi. Who's this?
How are you? Alex.
Alex, where are you calling from?
Canada, my friend.
Oh, right, of course. Welcome back. Welcome back to
thank
the show.
You so much.
I'm doing fine, thank you for asking, by the way. How's life in Canada?
Spring is in the air. There's still lots of snow on the ground, but spring is in the air.
Well, at least the snow still isn't in the air.
Yeah. If you're lucky, Ricky, we may still have a few more days of that here and there in between, but for the most part, she's done.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear it. It's been a bitter winter for folks in the northerly and northeastern regions of the United States. So the news that spring is in the air is a fine thing to hear.
It's a wonderful thing to hear. So people get over all of their seasonal affective disorder thing with the lack of sunshine in the winter and everything like that and being cooped up inside like cabin fever, and they can get out and go for walks, and makes people feel better about life. So that's good.
It is indeed. So what do you have to share with us this month?
Something that I just wrote yesterday, Rick. It's called Many Happy Returns. It goes like this. I'm with you all the way. Often you've received the short end of the stick. You're on to greener pastures. Lean years we must all endure. These dry spells are over, so entering into a period of positive spiritual growth. Winds of change are among us. For weathering what you have, are so much the better person. Appreciate all that's on your plate. No more look a gift horse in the mouth. You take what you can get, are gratified by the smallest portion. Why more has since flowed into your stream? Is it just coincidence? Does a cow really fly over the moon? Answer is no on both accounts. So you've learned how to manifest, how to turn nothing into something by shifting a facial pattern whose image reflects a smile. This and this alone by itself makes a world of difference, which can be so catching you may wish to hold on to it forever. With it comes many happy returns. Can anyone blame you for wanting a slice of life that touches you again and again? With a tenderness whose softness is as a silky leaf, brushing gently as a lapping ripple upon a tranquil shore. When you find a paradise, there you tend to set down roots. Be it with a good woman or in a place of constant harmony. Thank you.
Thank you, Alex. Thanks for opening up the show with that that lovely piece. Anything going on in your neck of the woods that you want to let us know about, poetry-wise?
Poetry-wise, we just keep on doing monthly readings at different libraries, things like that up here. It's really a constant ebb and flow. We have a Arts Council of Sault Ste. Marie up here, and we do with those open readings, like you have once a month on the program here, but people just get out and they get to express themselves. So it's a good forum for it, so it's awesome.
Great. Well, thanks for calling in. Thanks for opening up the show, and looking forward to talking to you next time.
Oh, you're very welcome. And one plug, Rick, is that where I'm from in Sault Ste. Marie, the team won the Ontario Hockey League crown for regular season champions in junior hockey. And so now they're going into the playoffs starting next Friday. And other guys who have played on this team, most notably, would have been Wayne Gretzky and Paul Coffey.
No hockey slouches.
Not at all. Even Joe Thornton has played up here, and Jeff Carter from the Kings have played up here. So lots of guys from California that have played, that are playing down there, have played for this junior team here. So it's a hockey mecca right here.
Cool. Well, enjoy that, and I look forward to talking to you next time.
Okay. Take care, and thanks for the opportunity. I appreciate it all the time.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Glad to have you calling in as frequently as you do. That was some Alex calling from Sault Ste. Marie in Ontario, Canada, looming directly over the state of Michigan. I don't know if that worries the people in the northern part of Michigan, but you never know. Thanks for calling in, Alex. All right, moving along. Our next caller is... moving to a whole other part of the world. It's Neville Hyatt from Australia. Hi, Neville.
Good morning, Rick. I almost got caught out with the time zone change with your daylight savings.
It's meant to cause problems for the rest of the world.
Yes, and of course, coming up, I think next weekend, is ours. Daylight savings goes back, so next month it'll be a whole other ball game.
Well, I'll cross my fingers as we get closer to that time.
But I'm glad I got the email reminder saying the show was on. So thanks for sending them out.
My pleasure. I suspect that most people learn about the show or are reminded of the show because of that, and not necessarily because they've put it on their calendar. So that's why we do it.
Fabulous. Well, a lot's been happening in the poetry world in Ballarat. We recently just had a begonia festival, which is a massive social thing, as much as I don't really give a rat's about flowers, as beautiful as they are to photograph. I'm not a green thumb, but the begonia festival is heaps of kids' activities and things going on. So, and as part of that... a whole lot of the local poets got together and wrote a collection of poems based on things in the local gardens here, and published the book Poetry Pathways, which not only did they ask me to do the photos for, which I was honoured to, but I managed to get a couple of poems included in that. So I thought I'd do one of them for you today.
Please do. Let me ask you a question. You said they asked you to do the photographs. Are you also a photographer as an artist?
I am, yes. Yes.
That's great. Do you find that your photography and your poetry ever commingle, or one inspires the other in any way?
Okay, I'm going to have to slip you a 50, obviously, after this interview. My first
U.S. funds, if you don't mind.
yes. Of course, our dollar has dropped a bit against yours in the last few months. We used to be just above it. Yeah, my first two books were actually, every double page spread was a photo and a poem, which somewhat intermingled. So that's why I found your question rather interesting, because that was my first two books published, were a collection of photography and poetry, where the poetry and photography connected in some way.
That's great to know. I always find that although, you know, individual artists tend to specialize in their particular medium, that the impetus to create the art is similar regardless of how it comes out. You know, it might come out as a photograph, it might come out as a poem, it might come out as a painting, but to some extent it kind of comes from the same place regardless of what our chosen art form is. So it's always cool to learn of someone who works in more than one medium, as it were.
Yeah, and a lot of artists I know they do dabble in more than one medium, but generally speaking, you do find that, yeah, that creative, whatever it is, compels them to create no matter how that's expressed.
Right. Well, let's hear your poem.
Okay. It's to give you a precursor, because you weren't there on the poetry tour, there's an avenue in the gardens of all the old prime ministers of Australia. A marble pedestal with a bust, bronze bust. And that's what inspired this poem, which is called An Avenue of Pez. Candy. I wonder what flavour each one contains. Surrounded by such lush grass, fertilised by years of promises, a week or a year, one term or three, immortalised now forever like a row of Pez dispensers. Once only a man's domain, now joined by a woman. Pez.
Well, you've tackled all of our childhoods with that one, Neville.
Yeah, and the amount of times I've been in that gardens, I've lived here quite a few times over the years, and I've never thought of these bronze busts on top of the marbles as Pez dispensers. But that day I was walking along the gardens and I'm like, they kind of look like Pez dispensers.
It's well, so, again, it's art inspiring art. That's what it is.
Yeah, and generally that's what all the poems were, whether it was from the marble statues in the gardens or the trees or whatever it was using the ekphrasis form of poetry and being inspired. But there was a lot of them that were not only written but performed, and I managed to record some of them and stick them on my YouTube channel. So if anyone wants to check them out, they can do so. And some of them, thankfully, were even interpreted in Auslan, which is Australian Sign Language. So for the deaf, they can access the poetry as well, which I thought was wonderful.
That's so cool. And I saw you just posted a link to one of them in the chat room. So if anyone is in the chat room, or you might not even be aware that you're in the chat room, when you go to the Blog Talk Radio page, typically the chat room just kind of shows up. You might have to scroll to see it. But there it is. You can interact with other people listening to the show and post links and things like that. So thanks for doing that.
Well, I can't wait to hear the rest of the poets on the show, Rick.
Well, then let's get to him. Thank you for calling in and helping, as always, make this a truly worldwide reached show. Neville Hyatt from Ballarat, Australia. Good to hear your voice, as always.
Thanks, Rick. I look forward to next month's show.
Indeed. All right. That was Neville from Down Under, from Australia, making it in the nick of daylight savings time. We'll see if he manages to get on next month, what with the time change that they're going to experience. And you heard it here firstly. I'm going to need your backup here, but he promised that he would send $50, I think. That's the way I heard it, that $50 is coming to me. So keep that in mind, and I could use your emails of support in that matter. Moving on. All right, ladies and gentlemen, the number to call in, if you're brave enough to do so, and you should be, is 646-716-7362. You can also call in by clicking the direct connect button using your microphone on your computer. If it's a good microphone, you probably need to use headphones there, because you can't we can't have the speaker feeding back into the microphone there. But do that if you have a good internet connection. The sound's a little bit better than on the phone. But either way, call in 646-716-7362. Our next caller is from the 973 area code. Hello.
Hi, Rick. How are you?
I'm good. Who's this?
This is Ron Bremner. I'm from Glen Ridge, New Jersey. And
hey, Ron.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm good. Welcome back. You called in last month, right?
Not last month, but the month before.
Well, it all runs together like one big crazy show for me. I'm glad to have you back on, regardless of when it was previously.
Oh, it's great to be on, Rick.
And, so, what do you got for us?
Okay, I've got something from my forthcoming book, Kerouac Dreams, and this is untitled so far. So here we go. Jazzed faces, weary psyches, smells of coffee in pre-dawn America, sallow moon waiting for us, snake eyes, dog breath, here in a night of pals and gals in this cannabis home, quick snatched phrases from mouths of poets walking to and fro on streets of Visake, where we all live and sometimes die, howls of thunder, howls of laughter, and Ginsburg tears, wrapped in a neat bundle amid fears and whispers under the Christmas tree. Sunlight screaming, anodyne streaming, filling the void inside our minds with capsicum and Buddha. Screaming sunlight, actionable moonlight, soothe our fears as escaping sounds eat our ears. And there you go.
Eat our ears, indeed. I'm a vegetarian, though, so I'm going to have to decline
that. Have you ever
that.
Had a sound eat your ear?
I, you know, frequently when I'm running the show, that happens. Ron, you said that's from a forthcoming book. What's the name of the book?
The name of the book is Kerouac Dreams. They're poems sort of in the style of Jack Kerouac.
Very cool. When do you expect that to be out?
I'm working feverishly on it. I'm hoping to get it out in a few months from now.
Cool. That's great news. That's great to hear. Enjoyed that piece, and I'm sure that the rest of the book is going to be great. So please keep us in the loop when that comes out.
Okay, I will. I just want to say that this Friday night, this coming Friday, we're going to have a reading also with music at the Gainville Cafe in Rutherford, New Jersey at 7 p.m. So there's a featured reader and an open mic, and we're welcoming anybody at all who wants to show up.
Cool. That sounds great. And that's in the greater Glen Ridge area?
Yes, it's a little town called Rutherford, the home of William Carlos Williams.
Oh, cool. Fantastic. All right. Well, Ron, I appreciate you calling back in, and have fun at that reading, and do let us know when your book comes out.
Will do, Rick. Stay well.
All right, you too. It was Ron Bremner calling from Glen Ridge, New Jersey, a repeat offender here on Poetry Superhighway Live. The number for you to call in is area code 646-716-7362. Please call in. Plenty of time for you to get your opportunity to read a poem and let us know about your latest projects as well. Our next caller is from the 801 area code. Hi.
Hi, it's Trish.
Hey, Trish. How's it going?
Going well. How are you?
Doing well. Remind us where you're calling from.
Utah. Mm-hmm. I'm in Provo, Utah, about 40 miles south of Salt Lake.
Fantastic. Well, good day. This is your second time calling in, I think. And, of course, I see your posts every day in the Poetry Superhighway Facebook group, and I just want to commend you again for spending so much time providing opportunities for other poets to submit work or sharing information about those opportunities, I should say. It's really cool that you do that.
Well, thanks. I have to do it for myself anyway, so I figure I might as well share it with anyone who is interested.
Yeah, makes sense. So what do you got for us this month?
I'm going to read a poem of mine that's been published quite a bit. It's called Waiting Around, And it's a poem that was inspired by Pablo Neruda's Walking Around. Hmm. And it's actually the exercise that I did to come up with this poem is one that I shared as a writing prompt for April. So I've already sent that in this morning, so you'll be seeing that come through.
Oh, cool.
So this is Waiting Around After Walking Around by Pablo Neruda. It so happens I am tired of being a woman, and it happens while I wait for my children to grow into the burning licks of adulthood. The streaks of summer sun have gone, drained between gaps into gutters, and the ink smell of report cards and recipe boxes cringes me into corners. Still, I would be satisfied if I could draw from language the banquet of poets, if I could salvage the space and time for thought and collect it like a souvenir. I can no longer be timid and quiet, breathless and withdrawn. I can't salve the silence. I can't be this vineyard to be bottled, corked, cellared, and shelved. That's why the year-end dates with pointed teeth, growls at my crow's feet, and gravels into my throat. It claws its way through the edges of an age I never planned to reach, and diffuses my life into dullness. Workout rooms and nail salons, bleach white sheets on clotheslines, and treacherous photographs of younger me at barbecues and birthday parties. I wait. I hold still in my form-fitting camouflage. I put on my strong suit and war paint lipstick, and I gamble on what's expected and what to become and how to behave. Mother, wife, brave. That's it.
That's great, Trish. I called up. Sorry to hear about those treacherous photographs, by the way.
We all have them.
We do, yes. Pretty much everyone taken of me is. But I called up Neruda's poem while you were reading that, and I was kind of following along in a way, and there's a lot of matching that you could do from your piece, at least in terms of format or the way lines start and that kind of thing. So that was really cool. I posted the link to Neruda's poem in the chat room in case anyone wants to check out. How cool that you were inspired to write that after Neruda's piece.
Yeah, I thought that his piece was so strong from his male perspective that I wanted to come at it with a female approach, and that's essentially what created the poem.
Yeah,
so that's what my prompt will be for April. That's the prompt essentially, is to take a poem from a different gender than one that you identify with and put that spin on it and write a new piece.
So cool. Yeah, I've just, it's you start right off. I mean, his poem begins, "It so happens I'm sick of being a man." So what a great exercise you've participated in as well as created for other people to check out. So hopefully we'll be able to include that as one of our prompts next month. And I appreciate you participating in that project as well as reading the example live here on Poetry Superhighway Live.
My pleasure.
Anything else going on you want to tell us about in your poetry world?
Sure. So a couple of things. Something kind of exciting for me, I co-founded a local poetry group called Rock Canyon Poets. And we started in January, and we're meeting twice a month, once for a reading and once to do workshopping. But we'll be participating in a lot of different readings and things this year, and we're hoping to put together a collaborative chapbook. So you'll be hearing more about that from me. Also, of course, with April, there are so many cool things to do. So I will throw a link into the chat room as well. But I've posted, I think, 3 different posts about April on my blog, and there are tons of resources for more prompts. I'm sure yours are going to be fabulous, but there are plenty out there. And other things that you can do. And I'll be participating in the Found Poetry Reviews Challenge. So I'll be writing a found poem from a specific prompt with specific methods each day of April, and those will be going up on my blog as well.
Awesome. One could fill their entire poetry writing career just by paying attention to what you're doing. Trish. So thanks for doing that. Thanks for doing all of that.
You bet.
All right, cool. I really appreciate that you called in, and we'll talk to you next time.
Sounds great. Thanks, Rick.
Sure. All right. That was Trish calling from Provo, Utah. Thanks so much for calling in, Trish Hopkinson. You can see all kinds of stuff that Trish does by joining the Poetry Superhighway Facebook group, among many other places, because almost every day she posts some kind of submission call or writing prompt or resource for poets right there in our group, which is one of the reasons why the Facebook group exists. So if you're not in it, search Poetry Superhighway on Facebook, or you can click right on the Facebook icon on the Poetry Superhighway website in the top of the right column, and you'll get right there, and you'll join in, and that's it, and it'll be great to have you. All right, moving on. Once again, the number to call is 646-716-7362. You know, it's the same number every month, so you might as well permanently tattoo it to the inside of your arm or something. Just a thought. You know, it saved me all the trouble from having to say the number every day, which I probably don't have to do because it's probably right up on your screen. Anyway, but you know, I like the whole telephone feel that I get when I read the phone number so often. 646-716-7362. We're healing the world here, people. Call in and read the poem that you want to read. Our next caller is from the 617 area code. Hi.
Hi, Rick. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. Who's this?
My name is Stuart, and I'm from Brookline, Massachusetts.
Hi, Stuart.
Hi.
Thanks for calling in.
Thanks for hosting me.
Sure. How are things in Brookline, Massachusetts?
Well, it looked like winter was shaking off, and it's come back with a fury. It's in the 20s today. It's horrible. Fierce wind. It just never ends. I have a feeling from this that there's going to be no spring in New England.
You think it's just going to, you know, become summer like one day?
Well, it's an old adage about New England that you really don't have, they say summer into winter. I mean, excuse me, winter into summer. You really don't have much of a spring. The buds don't come out on the trees until mid-April, and crocus is very late this year in any case. And there have been certain years, like 2003, we had an extremely harsh winter, just like this one. And then the spring was just very cold. I mean, there have been days at the end of May here, 29th of May, 52 degrees is a high. Terrible.
Oh, wow. Well, I can only recommend Southern California for its perpetual spring that we have year-round. You have to kind of be okay with the fact that we're running out of water and are probably all going to have to move to Michigan soon. But beyond that, the weather's pretty good.
Good. I was there in 2013. When you get east of L.A. a little bit, it gets a little too dry for my taste. I was in Diamond Bar, and the Diamond Bar is basically desert. You have to drink all the time, and the wind is very dry there. You get the Santa Ana winds. It seems to kind of sear my skin a little bit. I really didn't like it.
It's true. You know, we head out a little bit to the east for our desert vacations in places like Palm Springs and Joshua Tree, if you're more into nature. But it pretty much just stays desert all the way until New Orleans, I think. But there you go. Well, listen, Stuart, do you have a poem for us?
Yes, I do, and it's kind of on this theme of winter keeping us in its grasp. This is a poem that appeared first in a publication. Can I say a publication? Two publications where it appeared first, or that's not allowed?
Sure.
Okay, one, it was in 2011. It was in Carcinogenic. Strange name, but it's a wonderful publication. And the second one is one that I'm very proud to write for. It's been it's Verse Virtual, online only, and it's Firestone Feinberg's brainchild, and I've been writing on that since October. Excellent publication online. Anyway, this poem is called One Lasts, and it's not my voice. It's an imagined voice of an elder woman in the twilight of her life. This is One Lasts. The snow lies still forgotten deep below my feet. I look back for other tracks, but see only my own ending. In the morning, I started my letters, soon to be sealed. Some business, some unanswered correspondence, soon will be done. When I was young, needs like that could wait, but I am old now. The morning sun claimed this valley with a reckoning, but even this master's upright staff gives way to a longer, weaker ray, for it is near twilight. The water of the brook might still run, but who knows beneath this frozen seal? And the rabbits, once too many to count, now lie in slumber beneath the ground. Only the crows pass by. Funny how they seem to follow my tracks. My sisters and I used to make pies out of this valley. I can still taste the wafer-thin crusts. Summer never seemed to end, nor the fruits, but I am old now. Shadows are now long enough in this valley, and all is still. Time to be setting home. But what's there? Something on that old gnarly vine. All is now winter, sunset, but not this. Coming closer, I find to my delight only a long-forgotten grape, still clinging to the vine's end, keeping its dignity beneath some other plant's thorns, but still it keeps its crimson blush of color. I taste it, expecting the tincture of summer gone away. Not true. Not only sweet, but holding summer back. In this valley, the shadows are nearly gone, but not this. The last grapes all eaten away, but one is saved. It will indeed be time to head home soon, but only to work on those letters and end the night with a glass of wine.
That was great, Stuart. I love the idea of a grape trying to maintain its dignity, and the image of I don't think I'm going to be able to walk on the ground anywhere without imagining rabbits under the ground, just, you know, waiting to be discovered by archaeologists or gardeners. Thank you very much for that.
Absolutely. Let's just hope we get to the spring soon enough. Huh? I don't know where you are, but where I am, we're patiently waiting.
Well, I'll mail you some spring. We've got plenty of it here in Southern Cal. It's pretty much all we have. So not to worry. Check your UPS guy or girl tomorrow, and we'll see what we can do.
Thanks so much, Rick.
Stuart, thanks so much for calling in, and please do so again.
Okay. Goodbye.
Bye. All righty. That was Stuart calling from Brookline, Massachusetts. Moving along, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to call in and read a poem, the number is 646-716-7362. Our next caller is from the 860 area code. Hi.
Hey, Rick. How are you? This is Valerie from Maine.
Hi, Valerie. Valerie De Beers, yeah? Did I get that name right?
Valerie Beers, that's right, from Maine.
Okay.
We're patiently waiting for spring as well.
You guys should band together and write a petition.
I know, and I was listening earlier, and Alex from Canada said spring is in the air. Well, yes, it is. It's very windy and cold here, but spring's coming.
Good. I don't think I've ever talked as much about the weather with anyone that I have on this show today. So this is kind of exciting. Valerie, what do you got for us today?
I have, actually, do you know that March is Women's History Month? Do you know that?
Embarrassingly, no, I did not know that.
I hope Trish is still listening, and I love what she does. I get her emails every day.
Cool. I think she's still on board. Yeah, she's. I can see her still in the chat room, so she's probably still still here.
It's women's
there you go, Trish, another fan.
Yay! No, I have a poem that's very apropos for this month. It's called, and I wrote this myself, I'm sorry. It's called How to Be a Real Woman. And I don't mean to alienate any non-women out there.
I'm gonna take notes myself, so I'm please.
Okay, this is called How to Be a Real Woman. Know how to cook and use your rook. And let me look at other women. Grow your hair, get a perfect pair, and never stare at me. Grow up, cheer up, do sit-ups, stand up for me. Shut up, Valerie. Ride a bike, know what I like, and never try to psych me out. Driving around, don't make a sound as I comment on every woman around. You need a round butt. Get your body cut. And on command, act like a slut. Am I being heard? I hardly say a word. Make sure the coffee's stirred. Real women don't cry. Real women aren't shy. And they don't ask why. Get more educated. And when we're socially situated, don't act like we're together. Wear your clothes tight. Learn to drive right. And why do you have to write all the time? The end.
So there it is, the definitive guide on how to be a woman.
According to one person.
According to one. I sense you might not necessarily agree with that person.
No. But it's Women's History Month, so keep in mind the women that came before you and plowed, you know, blazed paths to make it okay to do this stuff. Whatever this stuff is.
Yes. I'm for anyone doing any stuff that they want to do.
Yes. I agree.
For the most part. Cool. Well, Valerie, anything going on up in Maine you want to tell us about?
You know, I am so excited to say that the first inaugural poet is going to be at the Bangor Public Library on April 3rd of this year. Richard Blanco.
The first inaugural poet, like the poet laureate of, what do you mean by that?
He was chosen by President Obama to write a poem for when President Obama was inaugurated, and it's called One Today. And
oh,
Richard,
okay. I see what you mean. Yes.
He's going to be at the Bangor Public Library on April 3rd.
That's very exciting. That's a big name in poetry heading to your town.
Yes. He lives in Maine. He lives in Bethel, Maine. So, yeah.
That's great. Well, so he's not only he's a local treasure, in other words, which is cool.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, that's so great, Valerie. I'm glad to hear about it. You want to give your website before I let you go?
Yes. Let's do wordsofthevow.wordpress.com.
Words of the Val, V-A-L, .wordpress.com.
Words of the Val 2000. I forgot the number. I forgot the number, Rick. Words of the Val 2000.wordpress.com. Oh, and speaking of numbers, all your listeners should put the number, 716. They should put it on speed dial. So I don't
yes.
say it too much.
Everyone should be in a constant state of ready to call into the show, like there's concert tickets to be won or something.
Finger on the button. Call in.
All right. Well, Valerie from Bangor, Maine, enjoy your month and keep sniffing that spring in the air, and we'll talk to you next time.
Thank you, Rick.
Thank you. Okay, that was Valerie. Moving on, ladies and gentlemen, the next caller is from the 614 area code. Hi, 614.
Rick, what's happening? This is Vincent Ivory.
Hey, Vincent.
Hey, Westerville. How you doing, sir?
Doing well, thanks. Westerville, Ohio,
yeah? Yeah. So it sounds like it's warm out there, but it's a little bit cool still here. So, but it's blue sky, so it's good weather. No complaints.
That's that's the least you could, the most you could hope for is no complaints, you know? Or the least. I don't know. It's a thing that you could hope for. I'm not sure if it's the least or the most you could hope for.
Okay. We'll just go middle ground for right now, just to be safe.
Cool. So,
hey, I'm gonna read a poem to him from a new book I'm still working on called Letters from the Amish Country. So that I started writing when I was in Berlin, Ohio last year on my anniversary. So
nice.
It's entitled Speaking Without Saying a Word. How loud the sun does speak today, going about its business, going along its way. The sun's boat moves across its own blue sea, sharing with humans its vitamin D. In a cabin to my left, a woman and a man sit nude on the porch receiving free tans. The sun talks to their skin with silence of sound, but their skin still hears and turns light brown. The sun exits, others take its place. With the stars and the moon's presence, we are now graced. The stars do their twinkle, the moon does its thing. A silent duet, they both now sing. An intruder approaches, coming in from the right. His silent message, no moonlight tonight. As more clouds gather, thunder is heard, speaking without saying a word. The lightning blinks, the raindrops fall, the dryness flees, the wetness mauls. The thunder interrupts the silence of night, the clouds deny us the moon's pale light. All the things say we never hear. Are they simply raindrops or many tears?
Nice. So it's a whole collection of poetry that will be, that are, did you say Letters from Amish Country? Is that the
Correct.
Title of the book?
That's the title of the book. Yep.
That's great. So, big fan of location specific poetry books myself, since most of mine follow that format. So cool to know that that you're doing it too.
Yeah. So where is the death of a moth bat? What location is that from?
That book was written in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and Niagara Falls. The reference itself came from visiting the Canadian Museum of Contemporary Art or something like that, and there was an exhibit which was produced by a performance art group there called they're called Shut the Fuck Up. That was the name of them. And they produced a video about what, you know, trying to play at the idea of what is art and really pushing the boundaries of it. And it was really a documentary of, and this is all leading up to the title of the book that you asked about, trust me. The film is really about a documentary of how they traveled to Europe and did a live art exhibit of them painting giant canvases using taxidermied poodles as their brushes, dipping them in blue paint, and then using those to paint the canvases. Again, kind of pushy. So switch back. I'm watching this video. The video begins with – do you remember the old Adam West Batman show?
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Of course. So Cesar Romero plays the Joker in that show, played the Joker in that show. And there's one particular episode in which there's an art contest in the city of Gotham. And
I got it now. I remember that.
So the Joker enters the contest, and he turns in a blank canvas, and he calls it Death of a Mauve Bat. And he wins the contest on top of it all. So that was the introductory segment to this other documentary video from the Canadian performance group, Shut the Fuck Up. And there's in the book, Death of a Mauve Bat, there's a reference to that piece of watching the video. And I thought that was a cool title. And that's why that book of poems Toronto is called Death of a Mauve Bat. And now everyone should go and buy 30 copies of it each, because it's really an entertaining and humorous book.
Okay, that's fine. As long as they buy 30 copies of Love Letters to Amish Country as well. But it is good. I always like that title that you did there. So
thanks.
Definitely. But appreciate what you're doing. You can check out my other stuff like The Pantyhose Lie and Love Letters to Hollywood. Those are my other books that are out now. They can go to VincentIvory.com and they can get those there. And they can also pick up Fan Mail, which is poetry inspired by the characters of Marvel Comics.
Cool. Well, it's great that you've been so productive. There's something really cool about a themed book, both not only writing it, but you know, discovering it and then discovering the relationship between all the poems. So awesome that you're
I agree.
Well, cool, Vincent, thank you so much for calling in, as always, and we'll talk to you next time.
Hey, thank you, Rick, for what you do, and keep doing it, and we'll talk to you next time. Have a great one.
Thanks, you too. All right, the number to call in is 646-716-7362. Thank you, Vincent, for calling in. Yeah, I've pretty much, since 1997, when I released my last actual collection of poetry written over time, have only written themed books, mostly written on location in different cities. The most recent one out on Rothko Press is called The Gettysburg Undress, which just this week, I'm sure you've seen me babbling on about that on my website and on Facebook and such, but it was just over the weekend, the press, Rothko Press, finally released it as an ebook. So if you're a Kindle person or an iBooks person, you can now get that book, The Gettysburg Undress, which I wrote 2 years ago. While traveling around Washington, D.C., Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, Allentown, Richmond, Virginia, and Baltimore, all poems written over a two-week period in just those places, speaking of theme books, now is available in ebook format for your favorite ebook reader. It's less expensive than the print version. Of course, the print version is available too, so pick it up. I'm excited to report, by the way, that they... having just told you that I have only released these themed books since 1997, that my next actual collection of collected works will be coming out within the next month or two, I believe by the end of May, of poems that I've written over the last 20 years since my last collected works. It's going to be called Making Love to the 50-Foot Woman, also on Rothko Press. It'll be available in paperback, online, everywhere, as well as in ebook formats. And I'm very, very excited about that because I haven't put out this kind of book in a long time. And in one sense, it's very easy to – it's easier to, you know, take a book of poetry that I wrote that's themed all on location and, you know, release the experience of having been in those places as one collection in the order that I wrote them. And those are good books, and I'm excited about them. In fact, I have another one already written called Professor Clown on Parade that I wrote last year in Maine, as well as Vermont and Hartford, Connecticut. So that'll be coming out sometime in the future as well. So anyway, look for Making Love to the 50-Foot Woman. That's a book title, not something that you should go outside and look for. Soon on Rothko Press. And check out the ebook of Gettysburg Undress right now on Amazon for Kindle and on the Apple's iBook store. All right, moving on. Our next caller, blocked number. Hi, blocked number.
Hey, Rick.
Hi.
Michael in Birmingham, how are you doing?
I'm good, Michael. How are you?
Well, I play second in a haiku competition. Do you want to hear about it?
I do.
Okay. I'm getting the material here to read. It's in conjunction with the Sakura Cherry Blossom Festival for the Japanese Society, but the Birmingham Public Library System moderates the actual haiku contest. And beginning in 2014, the Birmingham Public Library has sponsored an annual haiku contest open to all residents of the state of Alabama. And it was in increments of 3 weeks, a week leading up to the 21st, week one, and each week that have a top haiku from two divisions, a youth division and an adult division. And then the second week I placed in the adult division. So, of course, it took those top three winners from each division. And on yesterday at the festival, the Sakura Festival at the Birmingham Botanical Gardens, specifically in the Japanese garden area where they had the tea house and the pavilion. And all of this is available online for people to, they want to know more details about it. But they, those winners from the weeklies, they ranked them first, second, third, and announced the winners in their ranking at noon yesterday, and I was second in the adult category. And selections, the winners were selected by members of the Southeast chapter of the Haiku Society of Alabama. Okay, and after all that, when is April reading?
It's going to be April 19th.
Okay, well, April 17th is National Haiku Day, so I'll read that haiku and other haiku on the show the 19th if I get to call in, and if I call in and I get on the air. How's that? I'm going to read something short today, all right?
Sounds good.
Okay, it's also kind of haiku-ish, but I wrote it Friday night and I'm going to air it today. This appears on the page as like maybe two columns or as a diptych, a left and a right, and it's titled Two Leaves from the Same Book. Page left, expected, still sudden, boundless storm without upheaval, save unparalleled straight line winds lifted upon the moors forevermore. Page right, the exit page at the end of the book. The heights without the weathering, heaven. See you next week. Call in next month. I mean, next month. Hopefully, I'll get in, and hopefully, since it's close to the 17th National Haiku Day, which occurs about in the middle of National Poetry Month, then I'll present those haikus, including the one that placed.
Cool. That'd be great. Michael, do me a favor. Remind me via email maybe a few days before the show next week if you remember that it's about the National Haiku Day, so I can maybe encourage people to call in and read haiku on that particular show in advance.
Yeah, there's a website. There's a haiku foundation. There's a website called the Haiku Foundation. That's how I discovered it. You might want to put that on your website, Haiku Foundation. It's kind of like got everything about the haiku. Then there's so anyway, Haiku Foundation. Yeah, but I'll try to remember the email, and hopefully, you know, I'll get in. But they put together, I wanted to mention, they put together all the people that submitted in the course of those 3 weeks. They gathered them together and put them in a nice little chat booklet.
That sounds great. Michael, I got less than a minute, so I got to let you go.
Sure, okay.
I always appreciate you calling
in. Okay, see you next. Hear you, and let's call in and listen to National Poetry Month.
Sounds good. Thank you, Michael, from Birmingham, Alabama, for letting us know about that, et cetera. Well, thanks, everyone, for calling. Great show today. People from all over the world called in. Our next show, as I mentioned, is going to be Sunday, April 19th, same time, 2 o'clock p.m. Pacific. Pay attention to your local time changes in case that that affects you in Australia. I want to thank you, everyone, for calling in. Also, don't forget to let it pay attention to our poetry writing prompt a day next month during National Poetry Month. And if you'd like to submit a poetry writing prompt, you can do so right on our website there, and we will select the 30 prompts that we like the best and publish one a day. Have a great rest of your day, everyone. A great rest of March, and enjoy your transition into National Poetry Month.